10 top tips for better sleep and happier hormones in your 40s. How's your sleep these days? Do you get a good night's uninterrupted sleep and fall asleep pretty easily when you hit the pillow? Do you wake up feeling refreshed? If you answered no to any of these questions, then this post is for you. Sleep plays such a fundamental role in our overall health and well-being, and your hormone balance can really suffer when your sleep is off. Annoyingly, it can be a bit of a vicious cycle where sleep issues can exacerbate hormone symptoms such as PMS and hot flashes, and then hormone symptoms or imbalances can cause sleep issues. So it can be quite annoying. But in this blog, I'm going to explain what your circadian rhythm is and why it's such an important rhythm to support as much as you can for better sleep and happier hormones and a better experience of perimenopause. And if you're in your 40s, whether that's early 40s or mid 40s or late 40s, I'm talking to you. So what exactly is the circadian rhythm? It's also known as your internal body clock. The circadian rhythm is a natural internal biological process that regulates the sleep-wake cycle and repeats roughly every 24 hours. It regulates endocrine, so that's hormone and metabolism rhythms within the body, which means it has a significant impact on your hormone and metabolism health. The hormone cortisol, mostly known as the stress hormone, is an important hormone in the timing regulation of the circadian rhythm. And so keeping cortisol in balance is a way to keep your circadian rhythm, your internal body clock, regulated. In practical terms, this means that chronic stress, such as the day-to-day pressures of the modern world and a pandemic, can disrupt your circadian rhythm and cause sleep issues. This is because cortisol is a hormone released in response to any sort of stressor. And once our sleep falls out of whack, we can start to struggle to get going in the mornings, experience energy dips throughout the day, mood issues, cravings for sugar and carbs, and worsen PMS. So let's look at understanding the natural cortisol rhythm. The timing of your cortisol release is key when it comes to keeping your circadian rhythm healthy and promoting good sleep. Within the circadian rhythm, if cortisol doesn't rise when it should and drop when it should, you'll feel and see the effects as per what I've mentioned just now. Cortisol should follow a coordinated timed release. So it's controlled by a tiny part of your brain in the hypothalamus and released by your adrenal glands into the bloodstream. It should follow this coordinated time release every 24 hours. It should peak to its highest early in the morning within about 30 to 60 minutes of waking. It should taper off throughout the day and be at its lowest at bedtime when your sleep hormone melatonin should be near to its highest. And that will facilitate a good night's sleep. So if we're too stressed, we're going to be releasing too much cortisol and putting this natural circadian rhythm out of balance, because cortisol has such a huge role in regulating that circadian rhythm. But apart from stress, what else causes your circadian rhythm to go out of whack? Misaligned daylight and darkness cues disrupt your body clock, resulting in cortisol being low in the morning when it should be high and high at night when it should be low, which is a recipe for trouble falling asleep at night and or staying asleep and for waking up in the morning feeling unrefreshed. So do you need to get a coffee to get going in the mornings? Do you find that you can feel tired but wired at night and struggle to fall asleep or stay asleep? Do you find that you're constantly hungry and reaching for something sugary mid-morning or afternoon to keep you going? If so, then your circadian rhythm could be out of balance. You might also find that you have achy muscles or joints after a bad night's sleep, or see a flare up in any autoimmune symptoms that you may have or conditions. So this is due to the increased inflammation caused by low cortisol production in the morning when it should be high. So it's all about your CAR. So what do I mean by CAR? Your CAR basically stands for your cortisol awakening response, C-A-R. Which is a lovely spike in cortisol within 30 to 60 minutes of waking, as mentioned already, and a good CAR, cortisol awakening response, not only helps us feel alert and awake in the morning, but it's also important for regulating our immune system and keeping inflammation at bay. Supporting a robust CAR is a surefire way to a better sleep, more energy, better mood, happier hormones, and better metabolism and weight management, and so much more. So here are my top 10 tips for improving your cortisol awakening response and balance of cortisol for the rest of the day, every day. So number one is honoring light and dark. This one is so important. Expose your eyes to full spectrum light as soon as you open your eyes in the morning and encourage darkness during the evening and closer to bedtime. If we have too much darkness in the morning and too much lights, so lights at home, for example, in the evening, will really disrupt our natural circadian rhythm. And it's up to us to flip that on its head and make sure we're exposing our eyes to full spectrum daylight in the morning and darkness during the evening. So as close as to when you wake up as possible, get daylight, sunlight exposure. It doesn't have to be sunny, but daylight exposure, which can come from the sky or a full spectrum light box if it's in the winter, for example, for at least 10 minutes. Getting outside is ideal, but simply just getting to a window is better than nothing. But if you can get outside, that's great. Whether it's cloudy or not, you're simply looking to expose your eyes to daylight as soon as possible after waking. Then once the evening hits, you want to minimize blue light as much as you can. So blue wavelength light comes from all artificial lighting in the home, TV screens and computer, tablet, phone screens, exposure to this blue light at nighttime disrupts your cortisol rhythm by encouraging it to be high when it should be low. So dim the brightness on all of your screens, dim the lighting all around your home. Don't have any of the bright ceiling lights on, for example, from early evening onwards. So I would say from around 6 or 7 at the latest. And you can also try wearing blue light blocking glasses at night while you're looking at screens, but still try to dim the lights everywhere and not expose yourself to the screens as much as you can in the evenings. Number two, encourage blood flow to your brain in the morning. So your brain is the chief regulator of your cortisol output, and any type of exercise or movement will spur blood flow to your brain and in turn encourage cortisol production at a time when it's supposed to be high. So you can do your daily workout first thing in the morning, or just start each day with some sort of movement, whether that's going for a walk, doing some body weight squats, some downward dogs and yoga sun salutations, a few push-ups or a quick 10-minute workout. Or even something like Tai Chi or Qigong. Number three, take a few deep breaths and a moment for gratitude. So most of us just rush out of bed in the morning and into the shower and head straight to work or the computer without taking the time to just be present and acknowledge a new day, even just for a few minutes. And if the rest of the day tends to remain busy, this isn't helpful for your nervous system and circadian rhythm for just rushing out the door first thing in the morning. Try breathing in through your nose and belly for a count of 4 seconds and out through your nose or mouth for a count of 8 seconds. And repeat this 3 to 4 times. You can also do this any time throughout the day that you feel stressed or agitated. Getting outside for a walk as soon as you wake up is a triple whammy of benefits. You've got the daylight exposure, you've got the blood circulation from the movement, and you can think about all the things that you're grateful for whilst you're out on your walk. And if you can do that walk through some green nature spaces, that's even better. So during the day, point four would be to avoid caffeine after midday. So try to stick to no more than 2 cups during the morning and then try not to have anything after midday. So for some people, it's fine. But if you are struggling with your sleep, this is definitely something to test out. Number five, eat to keep your blood sugar balanced. So healthy blood sugar regulation is key for helping to keep cortisol in its natural rhythm, because cortisol plays such a huge role in balancing our blood sugar alongside insulin. So eat a breakfast that's protein rich, providing 25 to 35 grams of protein, plus some good fats and some fiber. Then aim to get 25 to 35 grams of protein again with your lunch and again with your dinner, and load half your plate with fibrous vegetables and ensure you get a portion of good fats and a fist-sized portion of slow-releasing starchy carbohydrate. I'm always talking about a balanced plate, so if you refer back to my previous blogs, or make sure you're signed up to my email list to continue getting more information on that balanced plate and how those starchy carbohydrates should look. Avoid sugar and refined carbs, as these quickly disrupt your blood sugar. So obviously that's all easier said than done, but it's important that you know these things are why they're so key to be avoiding, and then hopefully just give you that nudge or reminder to keep, you know, doing what you're doing, or to start trying to reduce the amount of sugar and refined carbs that you take in. And then point number six, which is during the day, during the evening, you want to be avoiding stimulating TV, film and news and any stressful, heated or stimulating conversation. So basically avoid anything that gets you wound up after 6 p.m. and have a good hour completely away from all screens before going to bed. Number seven, keep bedtime as consistent as possible across 7 days a week and gradually bring bedtime forward if needed. So for example, in 15-minute increments over time until you're consistently getting to bed at a much better time that allows you to have a good quality 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So if you want to sleep for 7 or 8 hours, you probably need to be in bed for 9 hours, for example. Or if you want 7 hours sleep, you probably need to be in bed for 8 hours. So try and work backwards and make sure you know when you need to be getting into bed to make that happen. Number eight, try soaking in a warm bath with Epsom salts or a warm shower an hour or two before bed, as this can improve your ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. It works by temporarily raising your body temperature, then allowing it to drop again, which can make you feel sleepy. A bath in the afternoon can also help to normalize circadian rhythm overall and improve your mood. So if you can do that, do it. Number nine, keep your bedroom cool and dark and free of screens, and wear an eye mask if light pollution is a problem for you in your area, for example, street lamps outside. And number 10, try a body scan lying down meditation. So there's loads of different ways of doing this, lots of different types out there, but I love particularly the yoga nidra meditation. So this is a body scan where you lay down and the meditation takes you through all the different parts of your body. And it can really help you to tune into your body and out of your mind, helping you relax and let go and either fall into a deep sleep if that's what you need to do, or simply refresh yourself and give yourself some, just revive yourself for the afternoon if you're feeling particularly sleep deprived. I use the Insight Timer app, and one of my favorite yoga nidra meditations has been linked to inside the text version of this blog post. So do you currently sleep well? Do you know that you could prioritize your sleep a little more? Either way, I really hope these tips have inspired you to take action and start improving your sleep from today. Your health and hormones will really thank you for it. If you've got any questions, you can email me at francesca@francescaliparotti.com. And if you are not already part of my email community, then definitely join, because that's where you'll get so much more insight and information and accountability from me. You can click the link inside the post. It's right at the bottom of the post. You can click that link to sign up to my list. Thanks for listening.